The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
The second part of that is true. The first part, it's me, Dan Matthews, executive producer of the show, in for Chuck today. He'll be back tomorrow, but of course, with it being a Tuesday, you know what that means. You know what we do around here on this day. It's a Bar Tuesday, but we're going to switch it up just a little bit. If you follow us on Twitter, by the way, and it's at Chuck Oliver Show on Twitter is the way that you can get at us. You can get at me as well on Twitter, at Dan Matthews, ATL, 1T and Matthews. But we will, every day before the show, just like most shows, we will lay out the bill of fare for the day and what we have. And we will put the guests on there and when we are going to have them. And normally, if you listen to the show, you know that a bottom of hour one in this time slot on a Tuesday, we go with Dave Bartu, and he joins us from College Football Matrix. But sometimes some special occasions and some circumstances arise, and you have to go ahead and switch things up a little bit on the fly. And that's what we had to do today, because joining us bottom of hour one today is going to be Florida State head coach Mike Norvell, entering into his second season down in Tallahassee with the Noles. So definitely looking forward to picking his brain and letting our great listeners down there on the ESPN station in Tallahassee having a chance to listen to coach today. So we look forward to that as they will start spring practice up here pretty soon. And that's something that I know that that program and that fan base is just, they're just begging for a winner, just yearning for one, that the program really, since I guess you could say the 2015 season, actually the 2016 season, I guess, because they went to the Orange Bowl that year, but then the following year, 17 was not great. 18, things were not great. 19, the same deal. And then last year, something for them to try to get back to where they have been as a program. So we've seen skids for the FSU program. And I know that that's something that Mike Norvell is going to try to write and get on track towards a more positive direction in the future. So that's something to look forward to today as we will talk with him in the bottom of hour one. Hour two, Georgia is another program this year that I think a lot of people are really looking at and wanting to see just what does Kirby Smart have, because talent, yes, that's rarely ever an issue in Athens. The schedule, tough one at the beginning, and then, of course, the SEC championship game at the end if the season goes the way that you had hoped. But that's also the problem sometimes in Athens, is a lot of times there's a lot of hype and then not necessarily enough backing it up to meet that hype. And a lot of people believe that this year that changes for this Georgia team, because why? And I've talked about this with Chuck before. If you pay attention to the show, when I joined Chuck, they got that quarterback thing figured out, because they've got a good one in JT Daniels, and he's coming back this year, and he's got another year in this Todd Monken offense. So we're going to talk JT Daniels. We're going to talk the player that they lost out on yesterday in recruiting, because honestly, when I saw Dreshon Miller choose Auburn, it surprised me, because I think, like most of us, it's kind of the second time this offseason now that's really surprised us as people who follow college football, because the first one, and Georgia fans thought for sure that Eric Gilbert, there were the reports that once he had entered the transfer portal in Baton Rouge with LSU, that it was, all right, he wants to be closer to home, And what is a school that's close to home for him in the Atlanta area? Oh, yeah, it's the one in Athens. And he would likely go to Georgia and fit in well. And we, you know, it was one of those things, too, that we saw them throw to Darnell Washington the way they did in that Missouri game this year. And we thought for ourselves, okay, maybe that means that he's going to, or at least that they're trying to showcase themselves for him and showing him, hey, see, tight ends can work in this offense, and that's why you need to be here, because you can work in this offense and you can be the guy that gets that position group back on track and shows people, oh yeah, hey, I can be a tight end, I can go play at Georgia, and I can actually be successful, which is something they haven't necessarily had for the longest time. So we'll talk with Rodney DeBolsey in the top of hour two, and then the man who normally joins us in the bottom of hour one, as I mentioned, Dave Bartu, well, he's going to join us in the top of, or excuse me, in the bottom of hour two. And of course, with Dave, I mean, there's really nothing college football wise that you can't cover with Dave. And we are going to do that today. So, of course, he will join us for his customary two segments. It's just we go inverse today. We're kind of like Maverick. We're inverted here on a Tuesday. And some of you out there listening right now, if you don't know, well, then shame on you. You honestly listening to this program should have universal knowledge, and I feel like that Top Gun is universal knowledge. I think we can all agree on that. So we will have Dave Bartu in the bottom of hour two. But coming up next, usually this program is one that you like to hate, but in this case, you really need to love them because it can benefit you as well. We'll discuss that as we roll along here on a Tuesday. It's Dan Matthews in for Chuck. This is Southern Sports Today.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Everything that touches our players right now is centered around this idea that it's not if we're going to do it. We're going to win.
Confidence abounds for Clark Lee, the new head coach at Vanderbilt, recently on SiriusXM's College Sports with, I believe, Rick Neuheisel, who, this shouldn't surprise anybody, and those of you who have satellite radio, I was driving around the other day and I was listening to Jimmy Buffett Radio, which, you know, Jimmy's an acquired taste. Some people love him, some people, you know what, whatever, not a huge fan. And they'll allow for celebrity guest DJs. And Coach Neuheisel was one of them. So I loved it. It was a good fit for Coach. You know, I definitely would believe that Coach is a parrot head. So good for him. Good for him, for sure. Again, coming up here in less than 15 minutes, we're going to be talking with FSU coach Mike Norvell heading into his second season. And, you know, it's one of those things that usually going into a second season when you're at a program like FSU and they've gone through the recent run that they've gone through in terms of bad luck and not having the success that they've had in recent years. Well, then you try to find as many answers to questions as you can. And in year one, there's just so many of them. I mean, there's just so many of them that it's the old analogy of using your thumb to plug one hole in the dam and then another one sprouts. I mean, that's just kind of what it is. You're kind of swimming a little bit. And add to the factor, too, he didn't have spring practice. He really didn't allow his guys to have summer workouts like they normally would. And in fall camp was different as well. So a lot of different obstacles for Mike Norvell in year one for him in trying to turn that FSU program around and make it into the program that people expect for the Seminoles to be. So in year two, he's still got those questions, but definitely something of a positive for them, the fact that they've got the amount of transfers that they have and the type of transfers that they have to the players. So we'll definitely dive into that a little bit with Coach when he joins us here in just a few minutes. But Notre Dame is a program that here in this part of the country, we love to bag on them. I mean, you know, it's one of those things. I told you all during the season, I said, don't sleep on this Notre Dame team. They're not the same Notre Dame team. And then, of course, I had my mentions flooded after the Alabama game of everybody. Oh, hey, see, it's the same Notre Dame team. It's the same one that they always are. You know, it's the old Who song, you know, meet the new boss, same as the old one. I mean, it's and it wasn't the case in terms of athletically for that team. And then also, too, I think we can all agree here that Alabama team was just different. That Alabama team was just special, and there weren't very many, if any, teams that could necessarily go toe-to-toe with them this year and be able to make it a competitive football game. They didn't have many of those this season. I mean, the only one that really that comes to mind for me right now is the SEC championship game, and I think even that score was deceptive at the end of the game. I mean, maybe the Ole Miss game, the defense wasn't where they were at the end of the season. For Alabama, they had some warts they had to work through. They had some adjustments that had to be made. So still, that was a special Alabama team. But in terms of this, some of you might have seen this yesterday that Jack Swarbrick, who is the AD at Notre Dame and is one of the power brokers in college football. I mean, I would say that you really look around, or who are the people that influence the game? Greg Sankey, Jack Swarbrick, Kevin Warren in the Big Ten. You probably throw him in there. Maybe John Swofford in the ACC. I mean, just with the rise of Clemson and, you know, definitely hoping that Miami and Florida State can be there as well, Georgia Tech, schools like that. But for the most part, the first three names that I mentioned, they're the ones that really control the conversation because they're the ones that drive the revenue. And Jack Swarbrick yesterday issuing a statement, because we've talked about on this show the EA Sports video game that's coming out here very soon. And when it's coming out, I think, 22, 23, regardless, it's going to be re-released. And Swarbrick throwing the first major blow to the NCAA's kind of kicking the can down the road for name, image, and likeness. And this is what it's going to take in order for name, image, and likeness to really get going in earnest, is for somebody like Jack Swarbrick to do what he did. So here's, if you don't necessarily know what the AD threw out there in a statement, he said that the school will not provide its name, logos, and other branding property to EA Sports for the game until new rules that determine whether athletes will be able to receive a cut of the game's profits are finalized. Some states, some of you may or may not know, like Florida, they are going to allow their athletes to start profiting from their name, image, and likeness as soon as July 1 of this year. California, the same deal. I mean, those of you that watch the LeBron James show on HBO, I believe it's called The Shop, he had Governor Gavin Newsom on the show, and he signed the legislation right there that California would allow for athletes to profit from their name, image, and likeness. I mean, this has been an issue in college sports for the longest time. I mean, kind of it really started to jump into overdrive when Ed O'Bannon, the former national championship winning basketball player at UCLA, sued the NCAA and said, wait a minute, you know, this whole draconian thing of you guys signing away everything that we have in terms of you being able to profit off the way that we're used in terms of advertising brochures or anything else like that. I mean, always and forever, I believe, is the way it is in the student athlete waiver that you sign. So now that's really coming to a head. And this is how things like this change, is the NCAA doesn't move for the Big 12 or for the Pac-12 or for the Mountain West, American, anybody else. They move for people like Jack Swarbrick. Because another part of this as well is the whole licensing issue with merchandise and everything else that you buy. Like, for example, if you ever buy a Notre Dame shirt, you will notice that, yeah, they've got the NCAA. I believe they still have the NCAA thing on there. But I know for sure they have their logo for Notre Dame and their licensing, and it's the gold dome, and it's that it lets you know that it's Notre Dame. When you used to, and I always remember this, when I would turn on EA Sports college football or NCAA football on my PlayStation, is
through the first parts, not the credits, but just at least, you know, the licensing, everything of the part, you would see the NCAA logo, and then you would see the Notre Dame logo. And they fought for that years ago to be able to have that. And a lot of people get annoyed with Notre Dame, and they look at them in terms of, oh, they need to join a conference. They don't have to. They still move the meter. They still influence the game enough for people to follow them, or at least, if nothing else, say, yeah, hey, we can't stand them that they're not in the ACC. But at the same time, though, too, hey, guess what? We'll go shoulder to shoulder with them because they're putting more money in our pockets and giving us more of an opportunity to be able to do these things as the SEC or as the Big Ten. And like I said, for this to be able to get going in the direction that athletes wanted to get going, it's going to take people like Jack Swarbrick to stand up to Mark Emmert in the NCAA and say, no, guess what? Now it is time for you guys to start cutting these guys in a little bit. And the other part of this as well that I don't think people necessarily grasp with the name, image, and likeness, nothing's really going to change. And this is really the only solution that there is out there, because for the longest time it was pay the players, pay the players, pay the players. You heard of Title IX? Pay the players. No, have you heard of Title IX? Because guess what? You can pay a player in a revenue sport $5,000 every semester, but then guess what? You got to pay the player and the athlete who is a rower or a swimmer or somebody that's in a non-revenue sport. Do you necessarily think, let's just say, for example, a Trevor Lawrence would be fine with the fact that their value to the university, you go into the Clemson bookstore and you see an orange number 16 jersey. Those profits are spread. Those profits are on checks given to every single athlete. But if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I'm looking at that and I'm saying, that's my jersey. That's not the lacrosse jersey in the bookstore that's being sold. That's not the baseball jersey that's being sold. That's my jersey. Why aren't I getting that money? And that's the part of this that needs to be what goes forward for name, image, and likeness and for players in terms of compensation. Not everybody is valued the same across the board, and you shouldn't treat people that way because guess what? That's not life. There's Mike Trout, and then there's the journeyman player who plays for five different major league organizations throughout their Major League Baseball career. So trying to insult someone's intelligence into saying, oh, well, you know, that's what we just need to do. We just need to pay the players. And, you know, okay, well, how do you do that? Well, just give everybody a set amount of money. Soon enough, you're going to have players who are in the situation, like I said, like I just using Trevor Lawrence as an example, but a player who is a superstar player who would look around and say, the hell with this. I'm not going to sit around here and risk myself for the money that I'm being paid right now and be paid the same amount that somebody else is. We see it happen in the NFL all the time. We see players who get franchised or are under a certain rookie deal or whatever they might be that people look at and say, you have a contract, play out that contract. NFL player says, okay, I can play out this contract and then I can have the Earl Thomas situation happen to me. And then I've got to try to prove myself again on a one-year prove-it deal in this league. And who knows if I'm going to be able to get the money that I was looking to get before. It's not necessarily just as easy as people saying, oh, hey, play it out, play the contract, do all those different types of things. No, know your value. And I have an old buddy of mine who used to say, when you've got leverage, use it. And in this case, Notre Dame knows that they have leverage and they're using it because they know that this EA Sports video game is nothing without them being in the game. And I know a lot of you out there in the south part of the country are saying, well, I'll never play as Notre Dame. It doesn't matter. Guess what? There are a lot of people outside of our area of the country who will play as Notre Dame and would buy the game because Notre Dame is in it. Because like it or not, their image and their brand is still as strong as it's ever been. And people looking at them and saying, oh, well, you're going to join the ACC this year. Well, guess what? You know what? Why don't you cut them a solid and join them every year? Jack Swarbrick in Notre Dame looks at him and says, why? NBC is not cutting you a check. They're cutting us a check. We're the ones getting that. Oh, and we're still getting guys from around the country to come play at our school. We're still getting the national exposure and the national views. So when people try to say, oh, they're not relevant, think again. The numbers tell you otherwise. And if you want this thing to come to fruition, you need them.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
College football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
An SEC program needs to start with this point and look to an unlikely source. We'll get to that in about 15 minutes, but let's not waste any time. Let's get right to the phone lines and be joined right now by the head coach of the Florida State Seminoles. He's entering his second season. He is Mike Norvell. Coach, appreciate your time today. You got Dan Matthews with you. How are things going for you right now?
Everything's going well, Dan. Just, rocking along in the winter conditioning program, kind of gearing up towards spring practice. You'll hear in a few weeks, and, there's a great deal of excitement around the facility. Pleased with the work our players are putting in, and how these guys are all kind of coming together as we're building to move forward.
And, Coach, forgive me if I missed this. Have you set a date on when spring will begin?
We're going to start on March 9th, and we will conclude with the spring game there on April 10th.
Looking forward to it for sure, I'm sure. Coach, just COVID-19 and trying to navigate it this year and still trying to navigate it as a coach. What has it taught you about doing the job on a daily basis that you feel like you're going to take going forward?
I think one of the areas that we've all grown is we've had to learn how to adapt and, be able to, operate and, communicate in a variety of different ways. And, from the virtual learning, with how we've had to install in the past, that's presented some absolute challenges, but, we're also able to gain some great experiences and, to be able to know that there are other ways to do it. Even though it might not be ideal, the ability to adapt and adjust, and for our staff, it's been a great opportunity to try to show our players how you respond to difficult situations. And we've seen challenges over the last year. It's been challenging for everybody in our country, but for us, we've really embraced the opportunity that we've had to grow. And I'm excited about a lot of those experiences and what the position that they're putting us in now, to be able to take those next steps here moving forward.
I mean, can you allow yourself, Coach, to kind of get into a headspace where going forward and hopefully progressing towards where we hope to be, where there is not the worry of COVID-19 on a daily basis? But this job's not easy. I'm sure you'd be the first to say that, where you say, if we can get through this and we can navigate trying to coach and play a game through these conditions, I mean, what's kind of stopping us when things calm down a little bit?
Well, we're excited to be able to get into a more normal routine. It's one of the things that, especially being a first year staff, that, it was unique in a lot of aspects because of how we had to adapt, how we had to adjust, to be able to go through a full spring practice, for our guys to understand what the expectation is, how we're going to operate. And then, to be able to build confidence, through, the process of how we prepare and what that looks like. It's going to be fun for us here in the next month, to really, be able to play out the, what that experience is and what, how how we approach spring ball, but also, you know, as we jump into the summer and the fall, to really be able to, you know, fall into our in our into our new normal, whatever that's going to be, you know, and how we can operate, you know, for this upcoming college football season.
He is Florida State head coach Mike Norvell, and he joins us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan in for Chuck here on a Tuesday. And you touched on it a little bit there, Coach. I mean, you got a little bit of a spring practice last year, but, I mean, just the excitement level for you and your staff to not only be able to have it on the horizon, but likely be able to have all 15 dates to get that work.
You know, we're looking forward to that, and you know, just the physical development that we've seen from our players throughout you know January and February up to this point. You know, I'm excited about the positive steps that I've seen. You know, last year, you know, we were one of the youngest football teams in all of college football. I think it was 75% of our roster was freshmen or sophomores. You know, we've been able to see those guys take great strides in their physical development, you know, obviously their understanding of what's expected, you know, within the offensive and defensive and special team schemes. But, you know, now to be able to go truly focus on those fundamentals and grow together, you know, as a team, as well as, you know, bringing in, I think we have five freshmen that were early enrollees. We had seven transfers that were able to join the program, and, you know, already seeing those guys, you know, kind of gel together, you know, to help build the identity for what, you know, the 21 Florida State Seminole football team is going to be.
Yeah, we'll get to those transfers you just mentioned there in just a second. On both sides of the ball, going to be players that are going to be able to benefit your program in 2021 and beyond. Coach, the other part of it as well is last year you didn't get a chance to experience Doak Campbell Stadium the way that it has been in the past, full capacity, all those different types of things that come with it being the venue that it is in the sport. I believe I read somewhere that you'll go back and you'll watch old YouTube videos. Can you kind of explain to our audience about that, of just, I guess, trying to get a feel of what the full experience could be going forward?
Well, I mean, you know, like you mentioned, I mean, Doak Campbell is one of the greatest sports venues in all sports, you know, that our country knows. And, you know, this last year, you know, being able to play with, I think it was 25% capacity, you know, it was different. I mean, we had, you know, still you could get a sense of the energy and the support of our fan base, you know, even at reduced numbers. But, you know, to go back and see the, you know, the great moments, the unbelievable crowds, just the energy that this place, you know, what it can bring to a contest. I mean, it is definitely unique and you know, an iconic place. And you know, I've got a chance to watch a lot of those you know, on YouTube, and to just, you know, visualize, you know, what that's going to be like. You know, we're definitely looking forward to having that opportunity here this fall.
Florida State head coach Mike Norvell joining us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. And Coach, like I said, let's get into some of those transfers. Of course, quarterback Mackenzie Milton is one that I know you get a lot of questions on. And I know you're kind of limited in terms of exposure to him during the offseason workouts as a head coach. But what kind of reports are you getting in terms of how he's looked this offseason?
Well, you know, we get to be a part of a lot of the workouts. So I've got a chance to see him, you know, in the weight room. You know, obviously the agility work that we're doing. I mean, he's doing a wonderful job. You know, really also, you know, just the relationship building and getting to know these guys that have you know, been here, been a part of the program, building those relationships. I mean, it's been a fun transition. You know, Mackenzie looks great. He's moving really well, and you know, excited about spring practice coming.
Had anything really necessarily surprised you about Mackenzie? I mean, I'm sure that you probably had a little bit of exposure to him when you were at Memphis and he was at UCF, but anything necessarily stand out to you about him?
No, I mean, I pretty much had a good sense of the competitor that he was. You know, obviously the leader that he was for that program. You know, had some mutual, I guess, connections and relationships just with guys that were all on that staff, and to hear the stories of what he meant to their program. You know, it's been great having him here, and you know, just the humility which he carries himself with, but also the confidence in how he approaches everything that he does. Guys really gravitate to him, and he's excited about the competition that's ahead, and really the opportunity for this team, and that's that's all you can ever hope for, and coupled with the story that he has and the things that he's had to overcome over these last few years, it's definitely a remarkable sight to see.
Again, continuing with Florida State Seminoles head coach Mike Norvell here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Coach, a couple more questions for you defensively. How are you feeling about that unit this year, and also, too, the transfers that you've been able to add to that side of the ball?
I'm excited about the unit, and the guys that are returning, they've done a nice job throughout this the offseason so far, just of their development. We were really young, and due to injuries and a variety of factors, had to play a lot of different guys on that side of the ball, and so guys were able to get some experience, but now going into this offseason, having a sense of where the improvement needs to be, and just individually, collectively at each position. And then overall, as a whole, as an entire group, and being able to add some guys that I think are going to add to our competition, but also allow us some flexibility of what we're going to be able to do schematically. I think that's it's been a really good offseason in that regards, and we're excited about seeing these guys compete. And like I said earlier, really formed the identity of what that unit is going to be as we're moving forward.
And final one for you, your defensive coordinator, Adam Fuller. I mean, what do you feel like he can bring out of them in his second year?
I'm excited about being able to have that continuity, and these guys, you look at our defensive players, they'd had four different they played in four different defenses in four different seasons, and so there's been a lot of change, and there wasn't a whole lot of continuity, but for these guys to have some confidence in understanding the calls, understanding the expectations, putting in the work of what it takes to be successful, I've got high hopes for where we can go and what we're going to do. And you're definitely excited about what Adam's going to be able to instill in these guys as we're moving forward to this 21 season.
Well, Coach, really appreciate you spending a few minutes with us today. I know the preparation is probably full go for March the 9th, so we really appreciate your time. Have a great spring, and hopefully we can catch up before we kick off next fall.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me on, and go Noles.
All right, thank you, Coach Mike Norvell, Florida State Seminoles, joining us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. And, I think something that he kind of touched on there is a word that I really kind of believe has not been uttered in terms of you trusting the word. And let me explain what I mean with that, is him saying continuity. Because I feel like ever since Jimbo Fisher up and left Florida State in the fashion that he did, that kind of continuity has gone out the window. It's kind of been a year by year. Hey, let's think of what we have here. I mean, in year one, it did not go the way that they hoped under Willie Taggart. And the following year, they decided they had to make a move in the season and then be able to lead to where they are now with Mike Norvell. And Mike Norvell coming in there, I know he had his rough beginning where you had either players, wait, that wasn't said, or, just kind of the perceived in the media distrust that there was. But then we realized, okay, well, that's not necessarily the case, just kind of a miscommunication, misunderstanding there. And they got back on track, and the program has been able to stabilize to a point. And we'll see what they have coming into this season. I mean, I think if anybody is thinking that this team is going to snap their fingers and immediately be a 9-3, 10-2 football team, no, they're not. But with the transfers that they have and the talent that they already have there, I mean, you heard him say 75% of the roster is incredibly young. There's no reason to believe that this team can't at least be competitive this season. And when I say competitive, 8-4 is an attainable goal. And the way that things have been going the last few years in Tallahassee, you go 8-4, there's going to be a lot of people this time next year, they're going to be even more excited about what year three looks like for Mike Norvell at Florida State. From what we just heard right there from Mike Norvell, it sounds like at least that continuity is something that is a possibility for them. And for the last few years, that hasn't necessarily been the case there in Tallahassee. All right, coming up next, that one SEC program, it's Tennessee. And they need to do this one thing at the beginning of the Josh Heupel era. And I think that there is an unlikely source that they can lean on that can help them out. I'll explain what I mean right here. It is the Chuck Oliver Show. It's Dan Matthews in for Chuck here on a Tuesday. This is Southern Sports Today.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required. And they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday. It's Dan Matthews in for Chuck. I want to thank Florida State head coach Mike Norvell for just joining us there for a few minutes. If you missed it, or if you missed any part of the show, you're saying to yourself, I had to step out of my car. I had to go inside, get my sandwich for lunch. Now I came back and I just missed a huge part of that Mike Norvell interview. Well, for you that went and got a sandwich, hope it's delicious. But number two, I would say don't worry about it, because when you download the Southern Sports Today app on your phone, you're also going to notice that, hour one after the show, it's posted. And then if you miss anything in hour two, like, hey, what did Dave Bartus say about this guy? That's going to be up there as well. So download the Southern Sports Today app, and you can never miss the Chuck Oliver Show, because we're always there with you. So you're driving down on a road trip to, Hilton Head Island for a summer road trip. We can be riding shotgun with you. So hopefully you can look forward to that. All right, Tennessee needs to do one thing in order to get back to where they have been in the past, and that is stability. And if you were listening yesterday when I did my crosstalk with Chuck, and I mentioned that it would really behoove Josh Heupel to make one phone call right now, and that would be to the Alabama football facility. Yes, I'd like to speak with offensive coordinator Bill O'Brien, please. May I ask who's calling? Yes, the head coach of Tennessee, Josh Heupel, which I'm sure that some people would believe in that building. It's a prank call, or what do they want from us? But in this case, I'd make it abundantly clear what I wanted to talk to him about, and that is, how did you stabilize things in Happy Valley? Because the job that Bill O'Brien did from that perspective, I don't think can ever be underscored. And people can look at him for what happened in Houston with the Texans and all that kind of stuff. That's fine. Maybe he's not an NFL head coach, regardless, whatever. But him being able to go into Penn State at a time when not only did people think that the program needed to be completely overhauled, people thought that that program, as you knew it, was dead, that it was never going to be what they were. And credit to him for being able to at least tell people and get some players to stick around, Christian Hackenberg and players like such, to be able to at least stabilize the program and say, hey, we might take our licks a little bit and we might get beaten up where normally in the past we wouldn't, but for right now we will. But it's going to pay off going forward. And a story that kind of comes to mind for me is, for those of you that don't know the story of how Bill Snyder built the Kansas State football program into what it was in the late 90s, early 2000s, because Kansas State was just, it was Siberia of a college football program, just terrible. And when he took over, little by little, he wanted the players and the staff to get used to success. Like, if something good happened in practice that day, he made it a point, hey, clip that tape right there, because I want so-and-so to see that interception, and I want these guys to be able to see the successes that they have, so then they can realize it's attainable here. We can do that, because football, more than any other sport, I feel like it is the positive energy festers, and it can go in a really positive direction, and then the negative energy can set in, and you truly believe, no, that's who we are. We're terrible. It's never going to get better around here. We're going to be this way for the rest of our lives. I mean, I think anybody can kind of get into that headspace at some time in their life of thinking, if you're in a real rough patch, it's never going to get any better.
It's truly the people who can not only sell you on the vision of the future, but that can also deliver on it down the road that you soon come to say, wow, I believed in you when I probably didn't necessarily know if I should, and you showed me where I could get at this point. And Bill O'Brien did that at Penn State. And you can't tell me that James Franklin and that program weren't in position to win the Big Ten, play in the Rose Bowl, have a chance to win the Rose Bowl, just really a handful of years removed from just the awful situation that we had uncovered there that led to Joe Paterno and many others at Penn State being shown the door. And in some cases, some people going to prison for what had happened there. So it's not necessarily that bad at Tennessee, but it's more of just it's bad from the standpoint of dysfunction. Because you felt like back after the 2008 season, Philip Fulmer's done all he can for this program. It's time to move on. Okay, that's fine. You had hoped that Lane Kiffin was going to come in 2009 and be able to stabilize things in terms of being able to get the players back into the program that we need, be able to beat Florida, be able to beat Alabama, be able to get back to Atlanta for the SEC championship game, and they haven't sniffed anywhere close to that since Philip Fulmer's second to last year at Tennessee when they lost to LSU in the SEC championship game. And that's more of a lesson in that case of you're trying to find wins and you're trying to do everything you can to find it, which sometimes it works. I mean, we've seen it work at certain programs where you move on from one coach and you're able to find success. I mean, we just talked with Mike Norvell at Florida State when people had their at least reservations about, should we move on from Bobby Bowden? And you found a guy named Jimbo Fisher and it worked. That's at least one idea that comes to the top of my mind right now. But I think another unlikely source that Josh Heupel needs to look to is somebody who the program wasn't unstable, but it was something that the program itself needed to wholesale change, at least on one side of the ball, and that's Georgia Tech and Jeff Collins. And people can say what they want about Jeff Collins to this point of his career, hasn't won enough, all these different types of things. He still is also somebody, too, who is trying to completely remake the offensive side of the ball. You don't understand how when you run one certain type of offense, because that's the thing, is trying to go from the spread and go to a more of a pro-style system, which a few years ago we saw that try to be done at University of Texas, and it didn't work out. And now it's for Jeff Collins, where offensive linemen, for example, when you run the spread option attack that Paul Johnson ran, the offensive linemen are not going to be what you need for the type of offense that Jeff Collins and Dave Patino and that side of the ball want to run right now. But it's also, too, it's telling guys straight up to their face, guess what? We're going to take our lumps for the first few years because we're not going to have the guys up front to be able to compete and beat the Clemsons and beat everybody else in the ACC and be able to get to Charlotte for the ACC championship game. It's going to take a year or two to be able to get on that track. And little by little, he's getting to that point. I think like kind of like what we just talked about with Mike Norvell, Georgia Tech was also hurt last year by the standpoint of they didn't get to finish spring and they didn't get that development. And in a way, I kind of felt like last year was year 1A for Jeff Collins because of that, that he didn't get that full year to be able to work with his guys and put them in position to be able to take the extra step forward that they needed to. So that's another call if I'm Josh Heupel I'm making, is I'm calling Jeff Collins and saying, Jeff, my gosh, like positivity just booms with you. Like, what do you see in that program right now that leads you to believe that you can find that success going forward? Because Georgia Tech's had that success in the past. They've won a national title. They've had Heisman Trophy winners. They've had Heisman Trophy runner-ups. A man sits to the right of Chuck every Thursday. Jeff in Joe Hamilton. He's that guy. So if they can do that there in Atlanta, Georgia, they can do it in Knoxville, Tennessee. And that's something that needs to be priority number one for Josh Heupel, is he needs to show, hey, we're moving forward.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.